It is with great joy that I come to open the book of Romans today, Romans chapter 11. We are working our way through this chapter, which promises such wonderful and glorious things for the future. And no matter what we see on the world scene, let us be encouraged that the best days of this earth are yet ahead, even before the earth is renovated by fire. The best days for the earth are still ahead, even before that time. The best days that the earth has ever seen since the fall of man are still ahead for this present earth. And then there will be new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're going to begin reading in Romans 11, verse 13 today. I want you to remember that the apostle is telling us very plainly who he is speaking to. Romans 11, 13, he says, "For I speak to you Gentiles." He's speaking directly to us in these words, "inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation or jealousy them which are my flesh, and might save some of them," speaking of the Hebrew people. "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" And they're going to be received in again. And it's going to be even as life from the dead for the rest of the world. "For if the first root be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also," speaking of the Hebrews, "if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" Amen. We end our reading there with verse 24, and we trust that the Lord will bless us, that we would even be enabled to get that far today in considering verses 23 and 24 together in our meditation of the morning. So we're looking especially at verses 23 and 24. "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief," that is the Hebrews, "shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" All right. Now, GMOs. GMOs? What are they? Many people are now acquainted with the term and have very strong opinions regarding GMOs. A GMO is a genetically modified organism. Whether a part of a plant or an animal, a plant or an animal can have their genes within their DNA modified. Scientists using various biotechnologies are now able to select genes from plants and from animals, and they can then introduce those genes into other plants or animals. Now, some GMOs are obviously dangerous, such as disease-causing bacteria that are so engineered that they are resistant to the antibodies that would otherwise kill them. That's dangerous. When you have bacteria that become, by this genetic engineering, these bacteria, disease-causing bacteria, that are purposefully changed so that they are resistant to antibodies. Now, I'm not particularly saying antibiotics, because the body produces natural antibodies. So whether these things become resistant to antibodies or antibiotics, it can be very dangerous. You might loudly cry out, "Don't mess with the food chain." Well, some of the foods that we eat have already been modified. You may not realize that. Some of the fruits that we eat are now larger and sweeter than they used to be, and there have been evident changes in some of the foods. And I tell you, I know that a lot of you feel the same way I do. I prefer non-GMO foods because they are natural and I believe safer. But if you go back, technically modern GMOs began many decades ago, as far back as 1973. We read here in Romans chapter 11 about modified organisms way back 2,000 years ago. But the practice of grafting is actually said to have been a couple of thousand years older than that, which would go back 4,000 years. In China, they were already grafting plants. Paul is describing plant grafting in verses 16 all the way down through verse 24. And praise God, his grafting is full of grace. Normally in grafting, what would you do? You would take a branch that had good characteristics about it and from a plant that would hopefully produce better fruit on a good tree. But this is not what God does with us. Here we are, wild, heathen, pagan Gentiles, corrupt, sinful Gentiles. God in His grace has taken us, wretched, sin-polluted, corrupting branches, and grafted us on to the good olive tree of His ancient covenant people. And what a wonderful thing that is. This whole section of Romans 11 really makes the position, I believe, of amillennialism, believing that there's no great future period for this earth as it is now. I think that the Romans 11 is really making that position a position that we couldn't really hold to. For amillennialism teaches that the promised latter-day glory for national Israel in this chapter, as well as in other places, is a mistaken dream or a hopeless myth. I don't believe that. So I would say that, you know, you got the best two out of three here. You got premillennialism and postmillennialism that believe in a glorious future. And although there are many adherents today to the amillennial position that it's going to be bad for a while, it's going to be good for a while, It's going to be bad for a while. It's going to be good for a while. That's basically the amillennial position. There's no future glory that the Scripture speaks about for this present earth and for Israel. Paul sets forth several arguments in this chapter to prove that God is not finished with national Israel. We have looked at several of these. If you remember in verse 1, in answer to the question, hath God cast away His people? Now, that's not just a simple cast away. The word there in the Greek is the aorist. It is the strongest past tense, meaning, has God cast away His people and He's done with it and it's over? What does the apostle immediately reply? God forbid. He says, because I am myself a Hebrew and I'm saved, so it's obvious that God is not once and for all thrown away His people and finished with them. The second argument is in verse 5. He says in verse 5, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And in the context, if you read, it's not a little teeny little bitty remnant. You look at the context, moving back up one verse. He's talking about literally thousands. At the time in which Paul was living, there is a vast remnant according to the election of grace. God's not through with Israel. He says, look, even at the present time, there were people living that had been saved on the day of Pentecost. A bunch of them had been saved by the thousands after that. So, no, God was not finished with His people. In the third place, look at verse 16. Verse 16 of Romans 11, He says, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now, we believe that the root goes back to Abraham and patriarchs. So the root is Abraham and the branches are those of his that are truly saints. So God is still doing work. He's not going to cast away the rest. In the fourth place, if you notice here in verse 23, and they also, speaking about Israel, if they abide not still in unbelief, and they are generally most of them in unbelief today in Jesus the Messiah, but if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. The very power of God shall do it. God is able. And then in the fifth place, in our verse 24, seeing what God has already done in bringing in so many wild pagan Gentiles, surely how much more shall the natural branches, the Hebrews, be grafted in? All right, now that's a little review. But this morning, looking briefly at verses 23 and 24, I would simply point out three things of these two verses. Number one is the matter of faith. If they abide not in unbelief, what's the opposite of unbelief? It is faith. It is the great matter of faith. Secondly, the moving of favor. God is able to do this. And then, thirdly, the much more of facility. We read there in verse 24, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So I say this is the much more of facility. So easy to bring these in whenever He would do that. Okay, so first of all, let's look at the matter of faith. There in verse 23, and they also, speaking of the Hebrew people, all around the world, if they abide not still in unbelief shall be grafted in. If they abide not still in unbelief. The word for unbelief is apistos, which means no faith. So, if they abide not in that condition, it comes to this great matter of faith. Here is the great principle of obtaining eternal salvation. It is by faith alone we enter into the kingdom of grace. It is not a matter of race. It's not a matter of nationality. It's not a matter of family. It is not a matter of works. as Paul so carefully has shown in this epistle to the Romans. In chapter 1, he showed that it's a matter of grace and faith. In chapter 3, in chapter 4, in chapter 5, in chapter 10, he has shown so clearly that salvation is by faith in Christ alone. One thing shuts a soul out of heaven, and what is that? It is abiding still in unbelief. This is the great doctrine of justification by faith alone, as Luther declared it so boldly 500 years ago. Man is responsible for his own damnation by abiding still in unbelief. Do not remain in that condition of unbelief. Do not remain apart from the Savior, but embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the great matter of faith. Now we come secondly to the moving of favor. Notice verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. There it is. The moving of God's favor. God is the one who's able to bring them in again. And just as salvation is the matter of faith, it's not something that we simply do on our own. But it's the great shepherd who has gone forth seeking his lost sheep. It's not that we're running around on the face of the earth. Men are trying to find God. You see a bunch of lost sheep out looking for the shepherd. No, it is the shepherd seeking his sheep. So the moving of God's favor has to do with his power and with his ability. What does the apostle say? God is able. Right there in verse 23. For God is able to graft them in again. It is not man that saves himself. It is God. For God is able to graft them in. You do not graft yourself into this olive tree. God does it. With men, it is an impossibility. But God is able. It is His ability to save. God's favor moves Him to exercise His power. It is His power that saves and grafts the sinner into His covenant people. God's favor or His grace moves Him to save sinners. And nothing short of divine power can bring a lost, spiritually dead soul into salvation. Nothing less than the power of God. The future restoration of the Jews is a reality only because of the miraculous moving of God's favor with power. How's it going to be done? God is able, verse 23, to graft them in again. 54 men own the media in America, including Hollywood and the big powers of the various networks. 54 men own the media in America and most of the West. And those men are all of Hebrew extraction. And can you imagine when suddenly God saves the living people of Israel on the face of the earth? He said, and so all Israel shall be saved. When He suddenly moves and converts these people, what's going to happen to the media in America? Are they going to continue to market pornography in all of its degrees? No, there's going to be a big change. You can imagine what's going to happen in the Western world and in the whole world when God suddenly converts the media moguls. Hallelujah. Well, nothing short of God's power can do this, for God is able to graft them in again. Having thought on the matter of faith and the moving of favor, we come finally to the much more of facility. Verse 24. Notice verse 24. For if thou, you Gentiles, were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? How amazing. Facility means something that can be done with ease. If God goes out here and takes us, a bunch of wild, heathen, pagan, idol-worshipping Gentiles, and brings us, even bringing our ancestors, to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and grafts us in, how easy it is for God to take these natural branches. Now, not for a moment does Paul mean that the broken off branches will be grafted in again. No, those that are broken off, what happens to them? He tells us in verse 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity. Those branches that have been broken off, it is horrible for them. They will not be grafted in again. Jesus tells us what happens to the branches that are not remaining connected to the life-giving sap. In John 15, verse 6, Jesus said they are cast into the fire and burned. The natural branches that grow up in the future, however, those of natural Israel, can be easily grafted in simply by the grace of God. Why would it be said of the natural branches, how much more? Because the Hebrew religion teaches them first to believe in the one living and true God. Secondly, that He is the one revealed in the Old Testament. And we agree with that. All of the Old Testament ceremonies were designed to point them to the Messiah. And the Hebrew people are the natural branches that should faithfully embrace their own Messiah. And since God can do this awesome work of bringing in the pagan Gentiles, which is contrary to nature, you think about that. The very opposite of nature. If you were going to graft something, you would want to graft a good, rich, fruit-bearing branch and bring it on here and bring all those good characteristics and graft it onto the stock of a good plant. We're going to have things that are even better. But thank God for His grace that He does that which is totally contrary to nature. And He takes the wild and the wicked and the rotten Gentile sinners and brings us into the fullness and the fatness of the olive tree of His eternal covenant people. So it will be an easy matter for Him to bring in the natural Hebrew branches as soon as He chooses to do so. God uses the language of horticulture so often in the Bible. You think about that. Farming and plants. God talks about it so much. We just sang a psalm about that. Blessed is the man. What is that man like? He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God uses the language of horticulture so often. Jesus says the harvest is the end of the world. Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Ooh, sounds pretty simple in English, but the Greek word for taketh away is literally, he destroys it. John 15:2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. He destroys it. Again, Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's in Matthew chapter 7. And two verses later, he explains it a little more. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. No, not everyone that simply says that. So what is the gist of our message this morning that he gives us here? He is showing us the goodness and the severity of God. That if the Hebrew people do not continue to abide in their unbelief, but come by grace to faith in Christ, they are grafted in again. And since God has taken a bunch of wild, Gentile, heathen branches and grafted us in through His grace, how easy it is for Him to bring in His own ancient covenant people. Make sure that you are a good, fruit-bearing, living branch. Be sure that you were grafted on to the tree of life and that you have a living faith in the Redeemer. Be sure that you have been genetically modified, that you have been changed by the almighty grace of God from being a wild, corrupt branch into a living branch filled with the life and virtue of the Holy Spirit flowing through your very being. What did Jesus say? He said it'll be like a river of living waters within. Praise God for life in Christ. Let us pray together. Oh God, we pray that Thou will cause the reality of this truth to be enforced by Thy Spirit upon our hearts. We pray, oh God, that Thou will help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with Thee, O living God, that we would truly know that we are grafted in to the good olive tree. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy grace. We thank Thee for the gift of faith. For Thou hast said, not all men have faith. So those of us who have it, it's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So Lord, please apply Thy truth lavishly to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.